Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In this second chapter of 1 Corinthians, the wisdom of this world is contrasted with the wisdom of God, and the natural man is contrasted with the spiritual man. Let's begin by reading the first five verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. In the second half of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we saw that Paul dealt with the root of the problem that was causing disunity and division and factions in the Corinthian church. The Corinthian Christians did not properly understand the message of the cross and the ways of God. There is no room for the glory of man in the cross of Christ. In the cross of Christ, we see that the wisdom of man and the cleverness of man and the might of man are all judged and condemned by God, because man by wisdom and cleverness and might does not come to know God, but rejects God. The Corinthians had to have this preached to them because they tended to put too much emphasis on the wisdom of man and the glory of man, like many Christians do today. The Corinthians had to be taught that the normal way of God is to use for His glory what man calls weak and foolish and small. And the way of God is to bring down the pride of man and to reduce what man sees as great and powerful and clever. Now here in chapter 2, Paul explains that this is why he came to Corinth the way he did. He did not come trying to impress them with his knowledge or intellectual language. He certainly could have, because Paul had a great mind and the education to go along with it. And furthermore, when Paul first came to Corinth, he had just been in Athens, presenting the truth to the philosophers and great thinkers of the day. But when Paul came to Corinth, he was determined to present God's truth in God's way, not with impressive eloquence and worldly wisdom, but in a simple, straightforward, humble presentation, depending totally on the Holy Spirit and the power of God for results. As it was then, so it should be today. The simple, straightforward preaching of the cross is what the unbeliever needs to hear, not some clever, eloquent, impressive speech bringing glory to man. After a sermon, the audience should not say, "Wasn't he good?" but rather they should say, "Isn't God great?" And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Doctrinal or teaching point number 1. There is both the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. There is both the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. Verses 6 through 13. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." We see in these verses that God is not against all wisdom. Certainly not. It's the wisdom of this world that God is against, because the world through its wisdom, as we saw in chapter 1, does not know God and does not come to God. Look back at chapter 1, verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. But there is another wisdom. There is a wisdom that is not of men, not even the greatest of men, and not of this present age. It is not the wisdom of this world, but it is the wisdom of God. In James chapter 3, the wisdom of this world is referred to as earthly and sensual and demonic. James 3:15. But the wisdom of God is referred to as the wisdom from above, which is pure and peaceable. James 3:17. This wisdom of God involves God's plan and purpose for mankind and the world. This plan and purpose is centered and focused in Christ. We can know and have this wisdom when we come to Christ and become mature in Christ, as we see there in verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Until the coming of Christ, this wisdom was hidden and not fully available. That's why it's referred to as God's wisdom in a mystery. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So it's referred to a mystery here. A biblical mystery is truth that was hidden in Old Testament times, but has now been revealed with the coming of Christ and New Testament times. Unbelievers don't understand the plan and purpose of our all-wise God. If unbelievers understood the wisdom of God and that all of God's program for the world is centered around Christ and that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, according to Colossians 2:3, which says, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. If unbelievers understood all this, they would not have crucified Christ, who is the Lord of glory. As we see there in verse 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But unbelievers and the rulers of this age do not understand the wisdom of God. However, Christians do, because God has revealed his sovereign plans and purposes in Christ in his word, and he has given us his Holy Spirit to understand his word. And we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to begin to appreciate all the blessings that are ours as part of God's plans and purposes. Verse 9 is usually applied to the believer's inheritance in heaven. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But notice how verse 12 emphasizes that even now, at the present time, we can enjoy the blessings of our inheritance as the Holy Spirit unfolds to us these truths that have been revealed. Verse 12 once again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Example. Let me ask you, are you experiencing and enjoying now the truth that you are part of the body of Christ forever? This great truth was hidden in the Old Testament, but is now fully revealed in the New Testament for us to experience and enjoy forever. Notice how the processes of revelation, inspiration, and illumination by the Holy Spirit are all covered in these verses before us. And notice how verbal inspiration is taught in verse 13. Verse 13, once again, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That is, the Holy Spirit has communicated spiritual truth, not just in spiritual thoughts, but even the very words of the original documents are inspired. This is all part of the wisdom of God. There is both the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. Doctrinal point number two. There is both the natural man and the spiritual man. There is both the natural man and the spiritual man. Verses 14 through 16. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Who's the natural man of verse 14? The natural man is the unbeliever. Unbelievers do not understand the truth that God has revealed. In fact, the things of God are foolishness to unbelievers. The idea that there is a God who created the world and life, and the idea that Jesus of Nazareth was the eternal Son of God, and the idea that the death of Jesus on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago atoned for the sin of the world, and the idea that when you believe this, you have your sins forgiven, and you will go to heaven and live forever, all of this is foolishness to the unbeliever. The very fact that you believe these things is evidence that you are in the other category of mankind, the spiritual man. The spiritual man is the mature believer who is led and taught by the Holy Spirit. Verse 15 indicates that the spiritual believer thinks properly, and the world can't figure this out. In fact, to the unbeliever, the spiritual believer is an enigma. Did you ever have an unbeliever say to you, "What makes you tick anyway?" Or "What makes you different?" The answer to what makes a Christian tick and different is in verse 16. We have the mind of Christ, and the unbelieving world doesn't. And that's the way it works. The natural man does not instruct God, as Paul points out from Isaiah 40, verse 13, but rather the Lord instructs the spiritual man, and thus the spiritual man has the mind of Christ. There is both the natural man and the spiritual man. What about practical application from 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Don't say it's too deep for me. Don't say it's too deep for me. Did you ever hear a Christian say that? In other words, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I know the basics, that's all I need. I just can't understand things like the book of Revelation and all the in-depth teachings of Scripture. It's too deep for me. Well, let me remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, if you're in that category. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. And one reason the Holy Spirit has been given is so that you might receive, right? Look at verse 12 again. So that you might know the things that have been freely given to you by God. Yes, we must get into the Word and meditate on the Word and come to Bible studies, etc., etc. But God did not give His Word to hide the truth from you, but to reveal His truth to you. So don't say it's too deep for me.